All right, so we have the parish mission. So do remember, by attending the parish mission, you will have a chance for a plenary indulgence by the attending of that. Also, if you want to make a general confession, you also can gain a plenary indulgence for making a general confession during the time period of a mission. So you're certainly welcome to. All I ask, if you're planning on making a general confession, maybe try to wait until some of the end of the confessions. I'll be hearing confessions hopefully starting at around 7:30 each of the nights going until the last penitent. So please do take advantage of this time period to help us to prepare for the Sacred Triduum. That's the whole purpose of the parish missions, is to try to help us to gain the graces that God has in store for us. I'd sent out in a flock note kind of what the theme is. So it's St. Bernard of Clairvaux and his question, "Why did you come here?" was his famous question that he would ask himself every day after he entered the monastic life, when he went to the monastery. Why did you come? And so he answered that question, one, to leave the world behind, two, to love and to serve God in his daily life, and then finally to attain eternal life. And so for us, we can try to look at that as a three-step process also, in trying to carry this out. One, to renounce the spirit of the world through a life of penance, of sacrifice. To serve God and to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ through a life of virtue, especially that of charity. And then to obtain the mystical union with God through prayer and contemplation. And so in that, in these three conferences that will be given, in answering St. Bernard of Clairvaux's question, why did you come here, we'll touch on his life, the doctrine that he preached, you know, and his writings. We'll also tie in the actions of our Lord during the 3 days of the Sacred Triduum. And then finally, we'll make a practical application, in a sense, for us to try to live by. And so with this first conference of renouncing the spirit of the world, you know, one, we can talk about St. Bernard of Clairvaux, his entrance into the monastery. After losing his mother to death, Bernard seemed very lost. He didn't know what to do with his life. And in some ways, he wasn't really living the life that God had called him to. But then one day, a voice sounded in the depths of his heart. And it said, "Come to me, all you that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. Take up my yoke upon you, and you shall find rest in your souls." This comes from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 11, 28 through 29. And so at these words that he heard within himself, it sparked in him then a heavenly longing to take possession of his heart. So he stopped at a church. He entered prostrate before the altar. He prayed with many tears, raising his eyes to heaven in the words of the prophet, pouring out his heart like water before the face of the Lord. And at that moment, a deep calm fell upon his soul. The breath of God rekindled the lamp of his spiritual life, and Bernard, all on fire with love, consecrated himself forever to God and joyfully took up the yoke of him who is meek and humble of heart. And so in that aspect, he had then this conversion in trying to understand and to try to see what is it that God wanted from his soul. And so he passed through a purifying process, but he remained a lit torch in the hand of God, prepared to give light to all in his church. He was called the oracle of the 12th century. And this zeal of St. Bernard seemed to know no bounds, even at the downfall of his own health. But that is where then we can see a lot of times the love that God has for souls, that he received this divine fire that descended into his soul, purifying him, transfiguring him. It says in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 12, I have come to cast fire on the earth, and what I will, but that it be kindled. This burning charity kindled his own family. And it was interesting to see how his family followed him to the monastic life. And so for St. Bernard of Clairvaux, he would want to try to live a life of evangelical perfections, to follow the gospel. So much so that he ardently desired to leave the world for our Lord Jesus Christ. And so with him leaving, as I mentioned, then his family would then shortly be transformed too. The many of his siblings desired to follow him into the religious life. But in that way, we could see that he was able to accomplish these designs. The determination of the order they were to embrace to the care of divine providence. In Philippians chapter 1, it says, he who hath begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And so we can ask ourselves, what comparison is there between this happiness that he sought and then the goods of this world? And so we can say, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, he answered his question by, why did you come here to gain eternal life? And that is something that I think all of us, we seek after eternal life. And not everyone is going to be called to the religious lives like St. Bernard of Clairvaux. And that is why then I say the practical application will be for us then to understand that we are called to eternal life. And therefore, we also have to seek after that in what God has called us to. In the walk of life that God has called for all of us. And so that is why then when we're looking at it in terms of this first step of renouncing the spirit of the world through a life of penance. The spirit of renouncement, when we can look to Don Marmion, the Benedictine abbot, and trying to understand, okay, what does this require from us? This renouncing of the spirit of the world. And so one, it is a spirit of mortification. You know, our Lord said, I am the way, no man cometh to the Father but by me. And so as I mentioned, St. Bernard wanted to follow the evangelical counsels. And so therefore we all must reflect upon the gospels and what is said in the gospels for us. Again, not everyone is going to be called to religious life, but we must try to live by the spirit that our Lord speaks about in the Gospels itself. And that is why our Lord said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And so all of us are called to that life in whatever capacity that he is calling us. That we must be followers of Christ. And hence that is the whole name of Christians. That we follow Christ. And so we know since Adam's fall, we can only return to God by expiation. To repair for our sins. And especially in this time period of, especially Holy Week, but Lent itself. We are meant to try to expiate our sins, to have that spirit of renouncement, to have that spirit of mortification, to make up for what we have done, but ultimately to also to look at it in terms of what Christ has suffered at the hands of his creatures, that all of us have shared in part to our Lord's passion and his death on the cross. And so we even see that our Lord, even though he was innocent, he had to pass through the sufferings of the cross before he could enter into his glory. And again, that is something that he told his disciples about. And for them, they didn't understand quite clearly what he was referring to. I mean, even to the point of where St. Peter was saying, no, we won't allow you to suffer like that. And he says, get behind me, Satan, because he was blocking the mission that Almighty God had given to him. And so that is why then he tries to explain to them, this is what I must try to do in order to sanctify all of our souls. And so our Lord became a victim for sin, that he would take on the sins of mankind, that is depicted in the weight of the cross upon him and his falls that he makes in the way of the cross, is again because of our sins. And that is why then he came into this world in order to redeem us. He suffered in order to redeem us. And therefore, it was to merit for us the graces from his death on the cross, to merit those graces in order for us to expiate our sins. And that's where when we refer to and we understand our Lord's death on the cross, he merited for us the opportunity to save our soul. And so therefore, then for all of us, as we live our lives, and as we attend the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, those graces, those merits that he won for us with his death on the cross are there at the Mass itself, and they are applied to our souls. That is why it's so important for us, one, to understand, okay, the attendance at Mass, the disposition we should have at Mass. And the more masses we attend, the more opportunities for those graces to be applied to our souls. And that is what our Lord won for us with his death on the cross. And that is what we see, we commemorate on Good Friday. And so our Lord, he had come to expiate sin, to repair for what has been done to God the Father. That because it was an infinite offense against Almighty God, therefore only one who was infinite could repair for that. And that is the thing for us, in what capacity would our Lord be able to repair for that? One drop of blood would have been sufficient. But our Lord emptied himself of everything to show his love for all of us. And to help us to see, this is why we should follow our Lord Jesus Christ. And so our Lord, he bore all of our iniquities, all of our sins. And that's why we, and even in sacred scripture, we say he is the man of sin. He took on our sins. Innocence himself, but he took on our sins. To save us, to redeem us from them. And so that is why by our sins we have contracted a debt towards God's justice that we too must repair for. And so that is why then this spirit of renunciation, it helps to assure us the perseverance that we will have till the very end. I mean, that is why the encouragement is for us to pray for this gift of perseverance, that we persevere to the very end of our life. Because we know we still have the inclination towards sin, even though original sin has been wiped away by our baptism. we're still inclined towards sin. The term that is given to that is fomus peccati, that we have this inclination towards sin that we have to battle every day of our life to fight against these tendencies that we may have. And that is why the spirit of mortification, renunciation, help us to uproot these tendencies, to counteract these habits that maybe we have formed, and in some ways to annihilate then this attachment to sin. It is through that spirit of renunciation. And that is why then for us, when we see St. Bernard of Clairvaux leaving everything to follow God, it is therefore also a help to us to understand, okay, we need to have this spirit of renunciation, to renounce then the world. I mean, that is why our Lord says in sacred scripture that the prince of this world has already been judged. We must fight against that. And so that is why renunciation is so necessary to us, not only for a satisfaction for our past sins, but also as a means to persevere from falling into them again. And so certainly when we go to confession and we confess our sins, we receive the sacramental graces to help us with those sins that we just confessed. And that is why it's necessary for us, in order to receive absolution, we must have a contrition for our sins, a sorrow for our sins. But we also must have a firm purpose of amendment, that we don't want to fall into them again. That we will do everything we can to fight against falling into them. And that is what is necessary for us. And so this self-renunciation becomes the means and a proof of a more perfect imitation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who desires for my sake to mortify his body with many penances, said the Eternal Father to St. Catherine of Siena, but without renouncing his own will, is wrong in thinking that this is pleasing to me. And so if we don't renounce our own will, we may think, okay, these are the things that I need to try to do, and we may do many penances. But if we don't renounce our own will, as God the Father says to St. Catherine of Siena, it is not pleasing to God. We must first and foremost renounce our own will. That is why it's good sometimes to check in with a confessor to say, okay, these are the penances I was thinking about trying to do, say, during a time period of Lent. So that the confessor can also to verify for us that it comes from the Spirit of God. And not something that it is our own desires to do, maybe for praise of other people, if they see what we're trying to offer up and trying to do. Or even that the devil can try to fool us into thinking, okay, these will be good for you. Knowing that down the road, it will be something that will cause us maybe not to be able to perform our duty of state. And so therefore, that is why it's helpful for us then to see this self-renunciation, renunciation of our own will. And that is why sometimes God will send us different penances, maybe even during a time period of Lent. We didn't ask for them. We didn't even want them. But God is trying to show them to us to say, this is what I want from you. And by having that spirit of renunciation, we will accept them when they come. And so that is why happy the soul whom God calls to the bareness of the cross, because the cross is the fount of graces for our soul. And even in some of the religious communities that in their own cell that they have a bare cross, because they are meant to give themselves to God on the cross. In that aspect that they are filling then the cross, the bare cross that is there, in imitation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's helpful for us then to understand that. And so that is why Dom Marmion, he continues and talks about, okay, but renunciation must come compunction of heart, a true sorrow for your sins. And he says it is habitual sense of contrition for our sins. Because he says that if we want to serve God, we must return to God. Why? Because sin turns us away from God. You know, you can think about it in terms of if you renounce sin venially, you're slightly turning away from God towards some creature, something. But if you choose mortal sin, then you turn completely away from God. And so therefore, you need to convert. You need to come back to God. And that is where the famous for St. Benedict is this conversion, to come back to God. And so that is why Abbot Marmion, St. Dom Marmion, where he said, we must return to God through this idea of habitual contrition for our sins, this compunction of heart. And we've talked about it before, the Eastern Fathers, the Desert Fathers, refer to it as penthos, this true contrition, this true sorrow that we have be always before our eyes. You know, you think about the prodigal son. I mean, that is an illustration of the mercy of God. And that is why our Lord gives that parable. That is why a lot of times for the Ignatian retreats, we give that for after the general confessions. Because it is so true of the mercy of God opening out his arms to embrace the soul that comes back. And you see from the prodigal son, you know, he tells his father, I have sinned before heaven and before you. I'm not even worthy to be called your son any longer. But his father openly embraces his son because he is now found, his son who is lost. His son lives who he thought was dead. And that is significant, that is symbolic of a soul that has fallen into mortal sin, that it is dead. It doesn't have the life of God within it. And so therefore it must come back to God. And so if we have this habitual contrition for our sins, this compunction of heart, again, Dom Marmion says it's harder for us to fall into deliberate sin when we have that compunction of heart. St. Teresa of Avila says, sorrow for sin increases in proportion to the divine grace received. And so the more graces we receive, the divine graces that we receive, therefore the more sorrow we will have for our sins. St. Benedict said, if anyone desires to pray in private, let him do so quietly with tears and fervor of heart. I mean, for us to understand what this means in this time period of Lent. And so certainly the nearer that we come to God, the better we perceive the stains that have disfigured us. So the closer that we come to God, the more that we see, okay, the sins that we've fallen into. Because we are close to God. And also compunction, contrition renders us stronger against temptation. Because again, if we have this compunction of heart, if we understand how we have fallen away from the graces of God, that will help us when temptation does come. That we won't want to repeat that. We won't want to fall back into these sins. It says, blessed is the man who endureth temptation, says sacred scripture. And so therefore we must purge the old man. You see St. Paul talking about that. Put on the new man of justice. To leave the old man behind. I mean, it's helpful for us to understand, okay, what is St. Paul talking about? That we have to leave our sins behind to put on the new man of grace. And therefore, we must try to free ourselves from the attachments to this world. When St. Paul talks about that, he says to put off, according to former conversation, the old man who is corrupted, according to the desire of error, Ephesians 4:22. And in Romans, he also says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed, to and ask that we may serve sin no longer. That is the intention that we should try to have, to serve sin no longer, to serve Almighty God. And St. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new paste, as you are unleavened. For Christ, our Pasch, is sacrificed. To purge out the old man, the sins that we've fallen into before. And that is helpful for us to see what St. Paul is telling us. To free us from the things that weigh us down. And hopefully that was something that you examined maybe at the beginning of Lent to try to see, okay, what has been weighing me down? What are some of the occasions of sin? Or what are the things that I have fallen into? And so therefore, that is why you chose certain things then to try to stay away from during this time period of Lent. And now we've come to this last week, the holiest of weeks for us. And in these first 3 days, we see how the church tries to prepare us then for the sacred triduum, the sacred 3 days. In preparing us for the graces that Almighty God has won for us, that he's offering to our souls. And so St. Bernard of Clairvaux, he speaks of humility as a means of finding then this truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his book, The Steps of Humility and Pride, he says, before I speak of the different steps of humility, which indeed St. Benedict does not ask us to count, but to climb, I will first try to show what we may expect to find at the top. The toil will be easier if we have the prophet before our eyes. You can think of that as Holy Mother of the Church also showing to us on the second Sunday of Lent, the Transfiguration. I think I mentioned to you that not only was it an encouragement for the three, you know, apostles that came with our Lord up to Mount Tabor, but they were also the same three that went with him in the agony in the garden. That it was meant to be an encouragement for them, but I said it's also an encouragement for all of us. That Holy Mother of the Church on the second Sunday of Lent, we've just started. We've had 1 week now, and Holy Mother of the Church tells us, it's like, well, here is the end for you. This is what you're striving for. She knows the weakness of human nature. That very easily we can get discouraged after, yes, just the 1 week of Lent is kind of like, this is hard. This is long. I've got 5 more weeks of this. But she holds out to us, this is what you're toiling for. This is what you're striving for. To be transfixed with our Lord in heaven for all eternity. And so she gives us that to try to help us to strive for that. And that is exactly what St. Bernard of Clairvaux is saying. That I'll try to show to you what you may expect to find at the top. The toil will be easier if we have the prophet before our eyes of what we're trying to obtain. It'll make it easier for you. And so our Lord said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way is humility. And that is something clear that our Lord shows to all of us. One, by his birth into this world. He was born as an infant with nothing. No place to lay his head. He was born in a stable. And so our Lord from the very beginning shows us the way of humility. And that is, we can say, the labor that we must put into our own spiritual life. In a spirit of humility, of understanding our place before God, that will be the means to help us to sanctify our soul. And certainly we can say that the end result will be eternal life. And our Lord is this life that he is offering to us. But our Lord says in Matthew 11, "Learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart." So we must imitate our Lord, and therefore we won't walk in the darkness of sin. But we will have the light of eternal life that will be before us. And then we can say that truth is this light, so that we can therefore gain eternal life. And again, it comes back to St. Bernard's question of why did I come here, is to gain eternal life. But he would ask himself, ad quid venisti? What did you come for? I mean, even having that over his door, so every time he left his room, his cell, he would understand, why did I come here? It is to gain eternal life. And so certainly when we fall away from the path of grace, we have lost our way. And that's why when we can turn to our Lord, he is the way for us. If we doubt some things of the faith, if we struggle in that belief and that trust in God, obviously our Lord, he is the truth to us. And then if we're weary in terms of, you know, climbing this mountain that we see before us, our Lord is the life. And so that's why St. Bernard of Clairvaux says the knowledge of the truth is the fruit of humility. And so I think that's something that is good for us to meditate upon. The knowledge of truth is the fruit of humility. That again, we understand our place before Almighty God. That we realize how dependent we are on Almighty God, dependent on his mercy. And that we must trust in him. And again, when we see a lot of times when our Lord's speaking in parables, I mean, at times he even tells the apostles, I speak in the parables for some will not understand. It is because of their pride that they will not understand what our Lord is saying to them. It is not as if our Lord just says, well, I don't want them to understand. I don't want them to understand. They refuse because of their pride. But the humble of hearts will then be able to understand, will be able to listen. And again, you see where our Lord even tells his apostles, kings of this world, they do not understand, but you have been given the ability to understand. And why? It's because of the dependence on our Lord Jesus Christ. That they will understand what our Lord says, even when he speaks in his parables. Granted, we can see sometimes where the apostles say, what did you mean by that parable? Could you explain that to us? And our Lord goes through and explains it to them. Because they want to understand. And so St. Bernard, in defining humility, says it is a virtue by which a man has a low opinion of himself because he knows himself well. So again, it's not a false humility where we say things just wanting people to say things good about us. But it is truly an understanding of who we are before Almighty God. We are a mere creature. We are completely dependent on Almighty God. If God were to stop thinking about us, we would be annihilated. We would cease to exist. That is how dependent we are on Almighty God. And so St. Bernard of Clairvaux, in his books, as I mentioned to you, The Steps of Humility and Pride, he said there are three foods that will help us to gain eternal life. He says one is humility. He said at times it's bitter, but it is medicinal. Two is charity, where that is sweet and soothing to us. And then three is contemplation. It is solid and it gives us strength. And so those are the guide to the steps we will follow in these three conferences. Tonight, renouncing the world through humility. Tomorrow night, serving God and imitating Christ through charity. And then finally, on Wednesday, attaining this union with God through contemplation, through prayer. And so we can see how this renouncement of the spirit of the world, how necessary it is for us. And so when we look at a scene from the Sacred Triduum, we can look at the scourging and the crowning of thorns. And I think it's helpful for us then to understand what our Lord suffered for all of us. One of the parishioners had made a crown of thorns, so I brought it to the school today. I put a note on it, do not touch, hoping that no one would find out the hard way. It's kind of like those things where you tell your children don't touch the hot stove, and then you hear them scream and you realize, well, they didn't listen. Find out the hard way. But the crown of thorns, when we see it, it is hard for us to imagine that our Lord having to wear that and the sufferings that he would undergo because of it. Or you think about then his scourging that he underwent. Maybe if you've had a chance to listen to the sermon that I sent you on the Shroud of Turin and what it shows to us and what our Lord suffered for us. But you think about our Lord going through that. And as I mentioned earlier in the conference, that our Lord, in order to redeem us of our sins, could have shed one drop of blood, and that would have been sufficient. But yet we see what our Lord went through out of love for every single one of us. And how then our sins added to what our Lord suffered. And so hopefully that brings a new light to us of understanding what our Lord, what he went through. Because of the sins we choose, because we choose these things over God. It says in Sacred Scripture, in plaiting a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand to mock him. That this is his crown, because he says he is the king. That they put the reed in his hand as a scepter, and the crown of thorns on top of his head as his crown, but to make him suffer. And in Luke 18, it says, he shall be delivered to the Gentiles and shall be mocked and scourged and spat upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death. And so these are a good reflection for us, especially as we draw closer to Good Friday. And that's why it's helpful for us to take that time of noon to 3 when our Lord hung on the cross. We will make the stations, we will recite the 15 decades of the rosary, and then we'll start the ceremony of the afternoon liturgy. So that we will take that time, if you can, to take that full time to meditate upon what our Lord went through and as he hung on the cross for all of us. And again, you see in sacred scripture this mocking of our Lord. And they came to him and bowing the knee before him, they mocked him and began to salute him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They would spit upon him, they strike him. That our Lord suffered these things in true humility. Again, go back to the agony in the garden when they come to apprehend our Lord. And our Lord even tells them he could call, you know, a legion of angels to come. Or how he asked them, "Who are you looking for?" And when they say his name, they all fall down. You would think that they would realize the power that he had. But again, the power that they have has been given to them by Almighty God. And so it's a reflection for us. And that is why our Lord says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would certainly strive that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence." He says that in John 18. And so clearly we see from our Lord's passion, his scourging, the crowning with thorns, the true humility that he had. And so that is why then on a practical level for all of us, this need for penance, for mortification, sacrifice, the need for humility for us, of leaving this world behind. So hopefully we see that for our souls. Just as St. Bernard of Clairvaux, he left the world. And just as we see our Lord in the practice of true humility, that we are meant to follow our Lord Jesus Christ in all things, in the practice of this virtue. And so as I say, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, he had this divine grace within him calling him to leave everything. His desire to serve God above all things. It's interesting, it was even said of St. Bernard of Clairvaux that humility was difficult for him to acquire. He was very talented, very gifted. And so it was difficult for him to acquire it, this virtue. But because of his love of God and embracing the discipline necessary, he acquired it. And so I'll end with a quote from St. Benedict in his rule. "And the ladder thus set up is our life in this world, which the Lord raises up towards heaven, if our heart is humbled. The sides of the ladder, we say, are our body and soul. Between them, our godly vocation has inserted various steps of humility and discipline, which we must mount." In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.